It's the 120 podcast, Mikey Fernelli alongside Ben Hootie. It's been 2 weeks. It's been an eventful 2 weeks, Ben, for better reasons than none. The Cubs are winning games. They are still well above 500. We talked to you after the Boston Red Sox series, which was the first series loss for the Cubs since the beginning of April. Alongside my partner, Ben Hootie, I'm Mikey Fernelli for another edition of 120. Ben, how are you?
Doing good on this fine Monday, getting ready to gear up for this Mets series. Our East Coast trip continues. Exciting stuff for the most part.
For the most part, and we start with the for the most part of this. The Cubs continuing to win games. They look really solid, and the thing is, the lineup they're doing it with is not even close to the highest potential Cubs lineup we could see on paper, right?
I would say tough series over the weekend. At least you got one, considering the circumstances. But yeah, I think overall, still a positive week, managing to get that sweep of Houston, who is just abysmal right now. I cannot believe how bad of a start. I still think it's a fine series win. Sweeps are sweeps, but I cannot believe how bad of a start Houston's off to. And then you turn the page, you go to this Boston series and this East Coast trip we're about to embark on, and good win on Friday. But I think we could really have a nice bounce back against a Mets team that's really turned a corner since the last time we've spoken.
This Cubs team at 17-11. They are second in the NL Central technically just by their loss record. The Brewers 17-10. A win last night in the last game against the Red Sox would have given the Cubs the solo first place in the Central, albeit they'll have to wait now through this Mets series. Yeah, Ben, they start a series against the Mets now. We highlighted this part of the schedule earlier on in the season and called it the neighbor of the West Coast road trip, this one being more easy or easier. And now this is a Mets team that really has completely turned it around since that infamous announcer call of couldn't be worse than this or whatever it was to, to paraphrase, down 6-0 and no one in the ballpark. And they've completely turned it around, it seems like.
Yeah, they're kind of like kind of similar to the Cubs a little bit, where I think everyone in Chicago knew what the Cubs had out of the back end of their rotation and the depth. But I don't think either fan bases thought that it would be going as good as it could, considering the circumstances. Just finding names of guys stepping up that you just wouldn't expect. And a lineup that really has not been for, or after a year off like last year, where it just everything collapsed for the Mets. It feels more like what they were in 2021 now or 2022. I don't know. My years are all getting screwed up at this point, but yeah, the Mets might be pretty solid. I still think they're like a middle of the pack team, but still, they gave us a run for their money last year when we saw them late in the season, and I think this is a good this could be a really good series for the Cubs.
Some forgettable games against the Red Sox, a nice sweep against the Astros, but let's date back to last weekend, a big series for the Cubs that has a lot of storylines in it. It was that Marlins series, four games, including two on Saturday. They blew game one, and they outright lost game four to split that series. That one was kind of a pain in the ass looking at that series. We start with this closer situation, Ben. Neris has been getting a lot of the load. We've seen a little bit of MLJ. I keep saying we'd love to see some Wes Nasty, but no matter how we script that, there's one name missing, and that is the man with the fastest game to tweet ratio and some of the best morale on the Cubs, and Albert Alzolay just, has a great personality, but it just hasn't been there for him on a couple different occasions so far early this year.
Yeah, I mean he's been demoted at this point. It's really tough to see, but when you're not able to close games, how many saves has he have blown? Four? I think it's four. And we're only a month into the season. It's not a good look. I'm happy Council made the move because he's got to get his confidence back. And I think he's made two appearances since then, and he's looked good in those spots. And hopefully there is a world in which, he can return back to that second half Albert Alzolay that we saw last year, just closing games on people, slam the door, and pumping that fist, but right now it's just not going well for him. And I hope he could get back that confidence, but now it really circles back on that ninth inning, and who's going to close games for the Cubs going forward, because there's just not really an answer. So are they going to look for a trade? Are they going to try and keep it in house once? I think the biggest thing of it all is they want to keep it in house, but they got to get some guys back in the starting rotation. I know
Right.
you like Wesneski to potentially close games. I think another option could be Ben Brown as well. So, I don't know, man. We'll have to see. It's a big gleaming black hole though right now, because you got to win games in the ninth inning, and all you got to do is get three outs, and it's really costed the Cubs about
Couple
five
wins.
game a couple wins here already.
Right. It's not like we're looking at a team that is below 500 and it's like, oh, we're just this and that. I mean, they're 17 and 11 on the season. They're one of the hotter
Right.
teams in the National League by record, even though it's an early season. Can you imagine the lengths they'd be at if they had an exact closer, if Aberdazolay was more locked down? They've gone to Hector Neris in the time being, at least in a few different occasions, although we didn't get to see it much during that Red Sox series. Dating back to the Astros series, you saw Neris against his former team doing it a lot. And I liked what I saw there, but I also would love to keep him for a longer reliever. I think he has more in his tank than just a ninth inning closing spot. And I don't know. I think they got to do something more there. Like you said, maybe even outsourcing.
Yeah, I don't. You might have to look elsewhere. I just look at a guy like I can't think of his. I think his name is Brent or something Miller. He's the closer of the Athletics, and they just found this
Oh,
guy,
yeah.
and he's
Mason Miller.
pumping Mason Miller just pumping 103 miles per hour out of the bullpen. And I'm like, why can't the Cubs find a guy like that?
He's locked
Just
down.
yeah,
Yeah,
and it's
he's really
Oakland.
good.
That's the craziest part of it all. He's like,
Yeah.
Oakland might not be that bad this year, which I've been
Yeah.
seeing early on in the season. But
I
yeah,
saw.
I wish they could just find a guy like that, whether they develop him or, maybe somewhere elsewhere if they were looking for a trade.
I saw something about Miller on TikTok, and it was a video of him closing out against, I want to say it was against the Yankees. It was against a solid team. And I'm looking at
Yankees
this
or
game.
Orioles, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking at this game right now, and I think it was this Yankees series. And he has seven saves on the year. He's been really, really good. He has only 12 innings pitched, 10 games, and seven saves on the year. As you said, Ben, he's pumping prime Aroldis Chapman heat. And all the comments on TikTok were, congratulations, you are now a Yankee. Congratulations, you are now a Dodger. Like all this stuff saying these really good teams that might be interested in trading for him. And I'm thinking, I didn't see any Cubs comments off the rip, but I'm thinking, like, here's a guy that you consider looking at.
I keep seeing congratulations, you're going to the Atlanta Braves for pennies, because
Yeah.
that's what the Athletics love to do.
Another one.
Oh man, that'd be awesome. I would say the way that the season's been going though, you're gonna have to give up some serious prospect capital. But it seems like closers are at a premium right now, not just for the Cubs. So who knows? Me and my friends were talking about that the other day. Who could even be an option? It's way too early to tell, because I think some of the teams that maybe we would have expected at one point to trade for a closer are actually doing a lot better than, or traded away their closer, are a lot doing a lot better than we initially thought. Kind of like the Guardians with Class A and the Mets with Diaz. So it's just going to be a black hole for the time being. They're just going to need to find, very similar to what happened last year. The Cubs didn't even go into last year with a closer. They
No.
just said, let's fuck it. Let's find a guy and hope he takes over the reins. That's kind of what happened with Adbert. Hopefully he could get back to that place where he is the
Yeah.
closer, or someone else steps up and becomes real lockdown. If not, you're gonna have to look elsewhere.
Abbott 22 saves a year ago. Kind of lost it a little bit towards the end of the year, but got into a really good groove and introduced the world to the people's fist. Hey, Ben, I got an idea. If he comes back from the Phantom IL, what if we let Kyle Hendricks close? You need to do something with him. There's just no way. As we talk about Kyle Hendricks a little bit now, we make the transition. A stud, a Hall of Very Good, potentially a Cubs Hall of Famer. No, I said Cubs Hall of Famer. Somebody who will always be remembered very fondly in Cubs fans' memory. Having a slow, painful career death right now, and then kind of just got phantom IL'd a week ago. Do you think we've seen the last of Kyle Hendricks this season?
I don't have an answer to that right now. I honestly, for if in it's in my head, I hope we don't see him again this year. And that sucks to say, but I like so much more what I'm seeing out of these young pitchers. I'd rather see these young pitchers get knocked around and bounce back the next start than continue to throw, Kyle Hendricks out there and just continue to get lit up. What a horrible, horrible start to the season.
Yeah.
I would assume that he's going to be back up at some point and they're going to give him another try. But yeah, it's just, I don't know what you do with him. I don't know if you call other teams and or throw him away for pennies. I don't think you could cut him. I just don't think it's realistic.
No.
So yeah, this whole Kyle Hendricks situation, and I think Cubs fans have been very respectful about it. They understand this is a guy that won a World Series championship, was developed basically was developed his entire career through us, was a ERA leader in 1 year and should have won the Cy Young and put the team on his back essentially at some points throughout that postseason run in 16 and other postseason runs as well. But yeah, I think everyone just kind of realizes it's time. It's just not the same Kyle Hendricks, and it sucks to say that, but Father Time catches up to everybody.
Well, it's going to be May pretty soon, but the next time we record, and May is the time where we start to see a lot of people hopefully coming back from the IL, because that is the flip side of the coin. The Cubs 17-11 on the year, but they have really struggled to stay healthy. We'll flip through it really fast, and then we'll touch on a couple of these people individually. Seiya with the right oblique injury, he is expected to return mid-May. Drew Smyly with a hip injury, expected again May. Kyle Hendricks technically May, but that'll get extended to the 60-day, I would think. Steele, left hamstring, is set to start in Iowa this week. Expect to return May. Jordan Wicks just went to the IL last weekend. I bet you can guess when he's supposed to return, mid to late May. And Cody Bellinger, two right rib fractures, TBD as it pertains to the MLB's IL list and expected return. So, yeah, that's a lot of all-star capital to be hanging out in the team hospital, Ben.
I will say I also think Drew Smyly's might be a phantom IL. Just saying.
Could
But
very well be.
who cares? I don't want to talk about Smyly or Hendricks anymore. We've talked enough about Steele and Seiya. Those are your two best players, and it sucks that they're on the IL. But at least Steele, I think, is getting a rehab start on Wednesday. He should be back very soon.
Hopefully.
This Bellinger one blows. It sucks, and I can't believe that it ended up being what it is. I saw he's already taking outfield and he's been swinging as well. So
That's huge.
this might be fast paced, faster than we thought it was going to be initially. But man, I think you kind of alluded to this at the beginning of the show. This lineup looks abysmal without those two guys in it,
This might be the
and
White Sox lineup.
I wouldn't say it's as bad as that, but
No.
it's kind of gross to look at. On the flip side, it gives you the opportunity to get young guys to play every day and really see what you have to a degree in some of them.
Yeah.
On the other side of the coin, it really sucks having your 2 and 3 hitter out this early in the season right now. And I think it was nice at first because we saw the Astros series. And Bellinger and Seiya were both out. And we were kind of like, holy shit, like they're still finding ways to win games and do this. And then Friday came around and it was like, who had the big hits on Friday? Oh, well, of course it's PCA and Matt Mervis. And we're like, you know what? Maybe this is gonna work out. I think the last 2 days you're kind of like, okay, come back as soon as possible. We need you guys. I think the biggest thing is we need guys to step up, right? Like, especially the vets. Nico has been fucking phenomenal since we kind of went in on him a little bit.
Yeah, power of the podcast.
We need Dansby and Chris Murrell to step up. At this point, when you look at that lineup, Dansby, no shit, he's a leader. He's probably the leader of the team. But Chris Murrell at this point amongst that lineup is like he looks like a veteran. 3 years is good enough to be a veteran in that lineup.
Yeah, right. No, seriously. especially because you're seeing guys like PCA and Mervis come up way
PCA,
earlier than we expected.
Mervis, Bush,
Canario.
Canario. Right.
I
So
mean, you didn't expect to see PCA and Mervis this early on in the year, and they kind of forced their hand. This is a
yeah.
Cubs farm system that, talking about trade assets, this is a Cubs farm system that is second in the league in most polls behind the Orioles. Yeah, this is a good group of prospects, but
Right.
you look at the best teams by record in the NL right now, and the Cubs are up there with them. But the other options are, for some reason, the Brewers. But then the Braves, who of course are just a suffocating lineup. My favorite word to say, the Avengers. I mean, these are MVP all-star lineups, and it was specifically this 3-1 win for the Cubs on Thursday against the Astros that we were both kind of like, dude, what is going on with this lineup?
I don't have
Bush,
a like.
Talkman, PCA, Canario, Happ, Swanson, Madrigal, Horner, and Amaya. That just doesn't seem like a lineup that's winning you games, but it did that time, and before the Boston series, it was. So I'm not mad. I'm just saying, like, this could really switch fast, and we saw that start to happen in the 17-0 loss against Boston.
I think that's the best way to put it. Like, it's fine right now, but there's just way too much youth, way too much inconsistencies right
Gonna be
now
too
with.
streaky.
There's way too much inconsistencies right now, especially with Dansby and Morel, and you can't be relying on guys like, rookies like Bush and PCA and Mervis to carry that load. So you hope they can until Belly and Saya come back. But once again, you look at this lineup, it's like, fuck,
Yeah.
those guys need to be back. They need to be back as soon as possible. But as you said, you can't be complaining too much right now because we're about to make it through the April gauntlet that we
Right.
always talked about. And the worst they could be is 4 games over .500. Or no,
And
five.
you said three. That's all you wanted. Three.
Yeah.
That's all you
Yeah.
wanted. Well, the good news is Happ and Morella both avoided serious time off. I mean, Happ was out for a couple games, but avoided IL time and was back. And Morel got a bit shaken up in the 17-0 loss late in that game for some reason, and got a bit shaken up, and then still ended up playing. Went 0 for 4 yesterday, but still ended up playing. So you would think that he is A-OK. Yeah, that was a tough game to see excuse me, Mervis and Wisdom pitch. And that was actually the game I got to watch the most of over the weekend, which is also a bit annoying, but I love watching the Cubs at Fenway. It's a lot of fun. You and I both said it on Friday. It feels like magical. It feels cool. Like, this is awesome. This is how baseball is supposed to be. I just wish that the other two games ended up being more interesting. Of course, extra or almost extra innings, bottom of the ninth loss last night, but until Talkman, it really didn't feel like it was going to be anything.
I want to talk about some bright spots. Let's
Yeah.
I like the bright spots of the past week.
Yeah.
Shota Imanaga's awesome. He is awesome. And we didn't get to catch much of Friday's game because we were busy with
Radio.
banquets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, just looking at the highlights, he is dialed in. And I hope there's not this, once there's enough tape on him, there's like this kind of fall off. I don't know if there will be, because he's translating so well in the major leagues that I'm obsessed, dude. I'm obsessed. It's awesome.
This quote from Alex Cora is so great. It's this article I read about how Shota was really targeted by the Red Sox too, in addition to the Cubs. And Cora said, "I know everybody's talking about Yamamoto, but this guy's good too. Statistically, he's better off the
Right
rip.
now,
And
he is, yeah.
off the rip, he is. And he's got that sub-1 ERA still. He looks so good. It's that they were showing the highlights of it Friday night after we got home from our radio banquet, as you said, and I was glancing at it. It's that way he gets through the lineup multiple times and has a plan for the whole game that so many people have now talked about online that I don't think it's easily foiled. I think he should still be able to play that chess match well. Is he going to keep a sub-1 ERA? I don't know. But is he going to get completely screwed up and lit up in a game and let up 16 runs? I also doubt it. I think they're going to find a way to keep him pretty serviceable.
And the splits are crazy too, where like he's, yeah, it's almost like he is, what do they call him? What do they call him in Japan? It's similar to like prime Kyle Hendricks. They call him the pitching philosopher or something like
Yeah,
that.
something
That
like
was his
that.
nickname. You're seeing it in action. It's very like similar to, he's finding ways to Obviously he's throwing from the left side, so usually righties are good off you. So he's still finding ways to execute pitches where he can get out righties and lefties at a high rate, and there's like not really one that's hitting him harder than the other. Who did he give the home run up to though?
We were both at radio. I didn't. I
Was it
saw it happen, but I didn't see.
O'Neal?
I didn't see who it was.
Whatever, it really doesn't matter.
But it
It's
was his only
just,
run.
yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a great, great, great signing for the Cubs in an offseason that was somehow criticized. And it has been really, really fun. The criticism, and going back to what we started at the top of the episode, maybe they could have signed a closer, but they thought they had something in Albert Azalai. And it's just not working out in the time being. And they're going to have to figure out something live now.
And really, the only big closer on the market was Hader, and Hader
Yeah.
is, we didn't even get to see Hader in the Astros series because they
Nope.
didn't even have a save opportunity. But he's struggling to start the year too. He's blown a couple games, so I don't know.
Ben, you talk of bright spots. How about Pete Crow Armstrong? Taking one all the way to deep right field. His very first in his career, his very first hit, got the ball back. He traded the bat. Now, the whispers are, is that the actual bat? If you're a hot hitter, you get your first MLB hit. Are you giving away that bat so easily, or is it just any bat that he happened to sign? He claims, and the story claims, he gave away his actual bat he hit the home run with.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty stand up of PCA.
I
I'll
agree.
take the ball, you get the bat. We'll just do a trade off. Personally, if it's me, I'm keeping both and just keeping them next to each other. But I'm also not major league number 15 overall prospect. Yeah, it that's fucking awesome. That was so cool to see. Just straight up, he
I
got all
watched
he got he got all of it. He almost fell in the box.
it.
A little bit of a Sosa hop, but like
Right.
unintentionally,
Right.
clearly, because he literally got all of it. Just such a beautiful swing. It's like a golf swing when he gets a hold of one. And yeah, he's batting 400 right now.
Yeah.
Very minimal plate appearances, but he had a nice weekend again. You already know what he's gonna bring you in center field. Just don't run into any brick walls.
Yep.
He's gonna scare the shit out of me sometime. I already know it, but
Yeah.
you already know what you're getting out of the glove. It just feels so good that he was able to get that first hit. And what makes it even better was it was a 120 start time at Wrigley Field,
Packed.
hacked on a Thursday. Like, come on. It was
Yeah.
awesome. Such
Yeah.
a cool video. Probably, I would say, up there for best moments of the season thus far.
Yeah.
And especially because it was go ahead in such a big game, they finished the sweep. Just such a great storyline, and I hope he really does continue to shine and make the Cubs want to keep him up when Bellinger's back. But I don't know how he's gonna do it because the set probably the best, the hottest hitter on the Cubs right now is the guy that sits behind Cody Bellinger and Mike Talkman.
Yeah,
So
that's fair enough. PCA, by the way,
we
yeah,
have a center field problem.
you alluded to it, Ben. 5 for 13. He's hitting .385. He really got hot after that first home run. He has a double, a home run, 4 RBIs in 5 games and 14 plate appearances. He's gotten hot, but like we talked about with this young lineup, you never know when that can completely change and get streaky, and it would be no one's fault but the injury. So you hope you can get your more consistent MVP caliber bats back soon in Cody Bellinger and Seiya Suzuki. All right, Ben, I got one last thought. Is it time for the Tampa Bay Rays to get relegated to AAA after what we saw,
I just saw their new City Connect jerseys. That was
which
a
are
good
really cool?
way to take the eyes off you getting swept by the Chicago White Sox, huh?
They are cool, the jerseys.
Yeah, it is really cool. I didn't really catch up with much of the games this weekend, but yeah, I mean, that's pretty embarrassing to lose that team, but
Three times.
some good pitching performances and Andrew Benintendi might be back and Southside stand up.
I was about to, I said I was about to say, he tried to make that work when it happened, or their very first win, when they were like 1-6 or whatever. And what's his name? I forget his name, the announcer.
I don't know.
He's the new announcer. What's his name?
Yeah, I know. It's
John
like
Schifrin. John Schifrin. John, yeah.
Sheffrin.
John Schifrin, who was, I didn't think people were really going to like him as the White Sox announcer because He comes from like ESPN 8, the Ocho. Like he did like pickleball and stuff, which is fine. Like it was really fun. Like he was really good at it. And he's not as like traditional baseball announcer guy as Jason Benetti or, you know, Steve Stone. But he's been fun for the White Sox games I've watched. I don't know how fun you can be, but he tries to get the South Side stand up thing going, and it finally kind of clicked this weekend when they won three in a row. They got a walk off, and it sounded like he ate his mic, but it made for a funny Twitter clip. So I don't know if there's anything positive about the White Sox right now. Maybe it's that the South Side stand up thing is catching on, because I said it when it happened the very first time. I'm like, people are rolling their eyes at this, but if they would be good, like if this was 2021 and people and the announcer was saying that, there'd be shirts, there'd be signs, like they're just because they're so terrible.
I saw some tweet and it was like, I love that. I love Sox fan base. It was some Sox fans. Like, I love the Sox fan base because only we could have a sweep for our sixth win of the season in 30 tries and make some like hype video about like making it seem like we just won the World Series. And that's valid. You know, that's how White Sox fans are. You send them out and then all of a sudden you win a couple games and they're right back in it.
Yep.
Yeah, but going back to the Sheffrin thing, he seems cool. He's kind of
Yeah.
weird. Kind
Yeah. It's
of,
okay.
I. But that's okay. All baseball announcers are weird. Look
Yeah.
at Boog. Look at Jason Benetti. I mean, yeah, the South Side stand up thing is it's fine.
It's
It's
fine.
fine.
What
It's
was Boog
fine.
talking about during the 17-0 loss? It was like by the time Mervis and Wisdom were pitching, him and T-Mac especially were just having conversations about anything and everything. And I forget what it exactly was, but it was maybe the only positive of a terrible game. He was just having rain delay theater when a live game was going on. And I've just loved, I mean, I know we've talked about this briefly in the pod before, and Twitter loves it too, but like Boog has been great this year. Like he is the Cubs announcer. He's always been great, but he has especially been great on Marquee this year. And maybe it's because the team has been hot to start, but I really have enjoyed watching games on Marquee.
Yeah, he's killing it. He really is. That entire crew is doing a really good job. I had complaints in the past, and after watching that ESPN broadcast yesterday, holy fuck, thank God we have a good, or it finally seems like we have a broadcast and a channel that's starting to come together, because my word.
Yeah.
I saw something the other day out, or that ESPN might ditch the baseball contract. And at first I was like, screw you. Like, you're just gonna do more basketball, which I don't think anyone even cares about anymore. Like, just whatever. That sucks. And then I watched the Sunday Night Baseball broadcast last night. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, you could actually ditch the baseball contract, because this crew, the cable channel doesn't understand baseball.
No.
It's bad. It's really bad. There was like a big play. I forgot what inning it was in, but it like bounced off the bag and they didn't have an angle, or they didn't show an angle. They're trying to talk to like Shota Imanaga, which is obviously cool, but they're trying to talk to him in like the heat of like, you know, the Cubs have like the bases loaded,
10
and it's
minutes
just,
long.
yeah.
I saw that
They're
later.
trying to pull off questions when there's runners at the corner with two outs. It's like, come on.
And the stupid, 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 stupid win probability graphic. I talked about it before, but it's like, I don't care. And they keep making sure you know it's there. It's literally just there for, it's basically should be money line. It should be a live spread, is what it should be, because it's basically all it is. And it's that's not for the baseball audience. Keep it away. Football is different. We don't need that for the baseball audience. It's the same way how during Cubs home games, they'll go back to the studio in the seventh inning and be like, oh, you know, if you want to stay interested in the game, take Nico Hoerner to get a hit in the seventh inning. No, that's not the baseball audience. I get it. I get why they do it, because that's what sports has become. But like, I don't need that. I don't need to see on a walk in the second inning, oh my God, the Red Sox have a 2% chance higher to win now. No, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's dumb.
It's
It's
dumb outright.
stupid. And I just, the ESPN thing, it's getting bad.
Yeah. I almost wish like I like Apple TV is honestly not that bad. Like the Cubs very rarely play on Apple TV and they get a bad rep because the graphics are kind of goofy. It looks like an iPhone graphic or something. But like
Yeah.
every time I've watched an Apple TV game, it's honestly not been terrible. It's kind of nice.
They got interesting looking cameras that they bring out there.
For Apple TV.
Yeah, like they're not bad. It's very, very, very like HD, like eye popping.
Right.
Those graphics would be nice if they could fix the colors.
It's like the Apple TV movies. Like, did you see Killers of the Flower Moon, and they got all those cool like shots, like aerial shots with like the, like
Sure.
it looks kind of like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's there's I don't know, the Apple T I noticed that when I watched that, and it's with those Apple TV movies and with their bro live broadcast, it's all about like the 1080p. So no, I if ESPN cancels their baseball contract, I think people were mad that NBC canceled their hockey contract and ESPN picked them up, and they've done a great job with hockey. I've
I
thought
think
they,
hockey's been awesome with ESPN.
yeah, I agree.
I just don't know what's going on with baseball. You do it once a week and it sucks.
Yeah.
I miss old Sunday Night Baseball. There was something different about it. And now it's just like that crew is. I don't like to harp on other announcers, but can we please get Eduardo Perez off the broadcast? He is so bad. It is insane. He's like got a frog stuck in his throat and just says the dumbest thing. And he's like always like talking about like the Cuban players and stuff and like the Puerto Rican players, and he's like just like saying their names and like they're like, you know, their Latin nicknames or whatever, and he just like yells it into the mic. It's like, bro, come on, just stop.
I
I
was a
don't know.
fan. No, you're right. I did laugh because I didn't watch much of last night's as a radio, but I did laugh at watching in the ninth, runners in the corners, no outs, and it's quiet. Obviously, they're waiting just to kind of let the audience be in the moment, and Eduardo Perez is just like, there still is a spot for a base runner.
I do
I'm
remember
like,
that hearing that.
and it was quiet for like 10 seconds on either side, and I literally couldn't help but chuckle. I'm like, thank you for that stunning analysis. Hey, all right. Thank you for listening to another episode of 120. We'll be back next week as the Cubs continue on this season. Ben said it. His prediction is officially right. Put it on, what do they call it, the Manning Cast? The prediction board. Ben did it right. Three games about 500 in April.
Yeah,
He
even
made it
better than
work.
that.
He made it work. Thanks for listening to this episode of 120. We'll be back next week.